Hello, Akita. This is RNZ Pacific News. I'm Don Wiseman. The results of the Bougainville referendum will not be tabled during the current session of the Papua New Guinea Parliament. It had been the plan to do so, but the Bougainville Minister for Independence Mission Implementation, Ezekiel Massat, says first some additional parliamentary procedures needed to be put in place. He says the referendum results and other documents, such as the outcomes of the various consultations, now go to Parliament later this year. He says a sessional order needs to be put in place to alter standing orders so the documents can be presented. He says the PNG Minister of Bougainville Affairs, Manasa Makiba, is now set to make a statement on Bougainville to the PNG Parliament next Tuesday.
So that is on track. We are not fussy about what next week's statements will bring. We are looking forward to that statement because it will point us in the direction of where there is a gap between our understanding and that of the national government.
American Samoa's Department of Health epidemiologist says he's comfortable supporting the end of the measles emergency declaration, which is set to end today. American Samoa's governor extended the measles emergency declaration last month until June 8th, local time. Scott Anisi says the territory was waiting on test results, which have now returned negative, before lifting the declaration.
We are comfortable and supporting that we end the emergency declaration for measles and continue to lift all restrictions. We will then move measles out of active surveillance back into the notifiable disease surveillance process as usual.
Mr. Anisi says the last count was 83 probable and 2 positive cases. However, he says some of the probable cases will soon be reclassified. Dodaido's mayor in Guam says the community is frustrated with how long it is taking for water and power to get back up and running after Typhoon Mawar. It's been about a fortnight since the US territory was pummeled with high winds and heavy rain when Mawar made landfall. Mayor Melissa Cervantes says about half of the households still do not have access to power and water. She says people pay extra fees on utilities to make them more resilient in typhoons.
We have improved infrastructure as far as utilities are concerned, yet it's taking much more time to get those back in place.
She says the utilities are expected to be back online by June 26th, a month after the typhoon hit. The Samoa Airport Authority is meeting with Samoan Airways over safety concerns at the just-reopened Whangali'i Airport. Samoa Airways says they're expecting answers from the authority regarding issues the airline has raised with them. At the opening of the upgraded airport, the Civil Aviation Minister stated that the Pacific Aviation Safety Office, based in Vanuatu, had given the OK on the safety of the airport. The Samoa Observer reports Samoa Airways management has not seen the officer's report so far. A Solomon Islands seasonal worker has been fined around $1,000 for carrying betel nut into Australia. Solomon's Business Magazine says it was told the worker's employer had to step in to pay the fine, which will later be refunded by the worker. The latest incident involved a palm worker carrying betel nut to pass on to others living in Australia. The Labour Mobility Unit has repeatedly told palm scheme workers not to take betel nut into Australia, but people are being offered payment to do so. French Polynesia's new president has raised the territory's institutional development with the French president, Emmanuel Macron, during a previously unannounced one-hour meeting in Paris. In 2013, French Polynesia was re-inscribed on the UN decolonisation list, but to date, France has refused to discuss its obligation as the administrative power at the annual UN deliberations. Mortai Brotherson, whose pro-independence Tavini Huaratira party won the April election, has told Le Premier that after his talks with Mr Macron and French ministers, he hoped France would join the UN talks in October. Mr Brotherson, who hopes to get an independence referendum within 15 years, says he also had positive exchange with Mr Macron on several other issues, such as energy transition and food self-sufficiency. The pro-autonomy president, Gaston Floss, asked France to organise an independence referendum in 2005 and again in 2013, but Paris ignored the requests both times. In world news, France's prime minister has expressed the nation's shock at a stabbing attack where the victims included very young children. 4 preschool children were severely wounded in a playground stabbing along with one adult. The mayor of the town of Annecy in the French Alps says the children appear to be in a stable condition. Prime Minister Elizabeth Warren says had this to say at the scene of the attack.
We are deeply shaken by this odious and indescribable act. When children are involved, people are touched to the core. And today, our whole nation is in shock.
The motive isn't clear, but it's not being treated as terrorism. The suspect, a Syrian refugee, was shot and taken into custody. To sport now, the Fijian and Drua coach McBurn is not concerned about the cold his players will likely face in Christchurch tomorrow. And Drua play the Crusaders in their Super Rugby Pacific quarterfinal on Saturday night. A fine afternoon's forecast, but with kick-off 2 hours after sunset, it'll be very cold at Orange Theory Stadium. McBurn is not worried.
Like the cold weather, it'll probably be harder for the coaches and the management sitting on the sideline than the players. I think the players, once you get out on the field, actually the cold weather's good. You get out and you get warm and you get going and it'll be good. The boys will enjoy it. I'm sure that they'll appreciate the coolness in the air rather than the heat of Suva or La Toka. I don't see it being an issue at all.
Flying Fijians coach Simon Raiwalui has named 23 Drua players in an extended squad of 45 for the upcoming July Test Series against Tonga, Samoa and Japan. The players also compete for spots to play in pre-Rugby World Cup warm-up games against France in August. They'll be joined by 13 players from the French Top 14 competition, 5 from the English Premiership and 1 each from the French Pro D2, United Rugby Championship, the Japan Rugby League 1 and Super Rugby. There are 10 uncapped players named. The Blues captain, Dalton Papali'i, says they've identified the Waratahs' strengths and are confident of nullifying them in tonight's opening Super Rugby quarterfinal at Eden Park. Third-placed qualifiers, the Blues crushed New South Wales 55-21 when the two teams met earlier in the season. The hosts are favoured to win again and advance to the final four. All Blacks loose forward Papali'i knows what they need to do to stifle the Waratahs.
Their phase play, you know, they've got so many options with their, they sort of have a game style like us, you know, their wingers come off the edges and they try to get into their work, try to get their talent in the middle working hard, so their backs are strong and their forwards are physical, so just mainly around their phase play we've really identified quite a strength.
The match kicks off at 7:05 tonight, New Zealand time. This year's Women's World Cup in football in Australia and New Zealand is on track to become the most attended standalone women's sporting event ever. FIFA says more than 1 million tickets have been sold already. That's the latest in news and sport from RNZ Pacific.